That's the way it is, folks. If you do something for God, God will keep you alive because you're needed. And if you do something for God, you're worthwhile. You should stay alive. But a person that don't do anything for God and all they do is eat, drink, make money, build, get them a house, have their little family, eat, drink, make money, have prestige, looking forward to businesses and all these kind of things, you ain't worth the dirt you made out of. God don't care nothing about you. And the quicker that you get off the scene, the better it'll be for everybody. And when somebody replaces you that's got their mind on God, that wants to do something to help humanity, then it'll be happy days. So then God is just about tired of this eating, drinking, gluttonous generation. And he's just about to wipe the whole thing, the slate clean, that is, the whole thing off of the earth. Because he could care less about your home and your children and your wife and your land and your prosperity and your job and your prestige. He could care less about it. I started to say something, I won't say that. But he could care less about it unless all that you are doing is a centralized motive toward the Son of God and his people and helping them. He doesn't care whether you eat or whether you drink or whether you starve or whether you die or whether you go to hell or whatever. If you don't have any love for humanity and for God and the things of God, as a matter of fact, he cares so little. He said, I'm angry with you every day and I'll pursue you till you perish from off of the face of the earth. And ye that have forgotten God, I'll tear you into pieces. So that's his thoughts towards you. I'm angry with the wicked every day. So then, because of that, it would do us good to love the Lord and try to conform to his ways and come up with the right thing. Isn't that right? To me, it seems real cruel that someone should give me a car, someone should give me bread to eat, someone should give me a nice home to live in, and then when they start by my house, I throw rocks at them, or I say, I don't want you, or I don't want you getting in my car, and I don't want you coming in my house, and I don't want you in my presence. That'd be pretty cruel, wouldn't it? That'd be kind of mean, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? How do you think that would be mean? Well, tell me, why do you do that? God has made you. He has given you breath. He has given you trees. He's given you birds. He's given you the earth. He's given you the food. He's given you the appetite. He's given you the clothing. He's given you the inspiration of life. And you say, away with God. We don't want God. Like that judge said the other day, keep God out of this. And you know, they just about hollered, keep God out of this, till God's just about decided to stay away. And when God stays away, there ain't no rain. And when God stays away, there ain't no sunshine. And when God stays away, there's no air to breathe. And when God stays away, there's no birds, there's no fish, there's no trees, there's no fruit, there's no food. When God stays away, there's no happiness. There's no health, there's no sanity. There's no light at all when God stays away. So then, we better entreat God. And as it was with the letter that we wrote the governor, I don't think Frank has a copy of it handy, but if he had had a copy, I would have just took a minute and read it here, because I feel that the hour has come where the saints of God are going to rise and take the kingdom. They're going to possess it forever and forever. So it's about time that we put some words in the governor's ears and some words in the president's ears and some words in the senator's ears. And we begin to program their mind for God's purpose and cause. The prophets of old were sent to the kings, and the prophets of old were sent to the great men, that they might program their minds for God's purpose. If the great men rebelled, God set the wrath of God upon them. If they came to the things that God commanded them to come to, then God blessed them, and the land was rich with his presence and plenty of food. This is a letter here. I had no intentions of reading this letter. But it's a letter here that goes to the governor. The Lord spoke to me and dealt with me, and when he does, I do whatever he tells me. I've contacted governors and senators and presidents and whatever. So I try to do what he tells me to do. I'm going to ask Brother Taylor, if he will, to come up and read this, and while he's reading it, to please read kind of slow so we can understand. You'll see what we're trying to do.
Through the years, Brother George had to slow me down. I've always been a full gait individual. But I do want to let you comprehend the wisdom that's in this letter. We have the heading, Jesus Christ, Eternal Abundant Life Incorporated, and the date, August the 4th, to the Honorable Joe Frank Harris, Governor of the State of Georgia, to whom it may concern. These writings or declarations are presented for the purpose of Christ and his people, and in the behalf of all mankind. I, as a minister, am constantly engaged in world activities, while I am principally carrying on a ministry of world evangelism by means of crusades, radio, television, and international publications, having access to every major language of the world. Recently, we observed your article requesting prayer for rain, which we were very pleased to see. As a minister of the gospel, having a genuine concern about humanity, we also desire the blessings of God in the interest of the people. As a matter of fact, I predicted the drought that is now upon us a great while back, even before it struck Africa, when God gave me a vision. In it, I was shown a time element which was to be involved that had to do with America. At that time, a certain individual was to die, which thing happened just as I was shown. The Lord has said unto me that it is because of the sins of the people and their negligence and unconcern toward the things of God, with too much emphasis being placed upon sports, prosperity, and recreation as to human welfare. And they are not magnifying the God of heaven as the principal power of human resources. In the scriptures, God says, and I quote, I am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation, end quote. He also tells us that those who are called by my name, first, if they will repent and call upon me, I will hear from heaven and heal their lands. It was in the days of David that the great calamity befell Israel in the areas that we now call the Holy Land. When David made inquiry, God spoke to him through the prophets, and by means of his communication to man, he told David that it was because of the bloody house of Saul. When David made restitution as a king and leader of Israel, the curse and the plagues were removed. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. One of the things that the Lord has revealed to me that has brought the drought is the neglected and mistreated prisoners, some of which have too much confinement, with many being treated in an inhumane manner. There has not been enough consideration on the part of officers and their superiors. The Lord himself said that at the day of judgment, and I quote again, I will say unto you, I was sick and in prison, and you visited me not, inasmuch as ye have failed to do it unto the least of these. Ye have failed to do it unto me. In the days of Elijah the prophet, King Ahab and his wife Jezebel had infiltrated the land with their sensual passions and ungodly frolics. Then God called for a great dearth upon the land. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ is the same, yesterday, today, and forever. First of all, our land is filled with pornography and ungodly movies on television and at theaters. The people had to suffer because of the hideous crimes and practices of their rulers. I was very grateful to see your attitude toward God. We just recently encountered a thing where a man made the statement, "So help me God." The same common terms which are used in the courtroom when people are sworn in as a verification of truth. The judge immediately railed on him and said that God was to be left out of the matter. The Lord let me know that if you, as a leader, along with the other leaders of this nation and the world, will continue to publicly acknowledge God and make a special effort toward reconciliation to Christ, as you diligently search out these matters concerning the prisoners and the misuse of the instruments of God, that he will turn his favor and blessings upon the people. I, as an individual, was recently in Mexico, where the situation was horrible and the water was giving out. The people came to us, and I was able to communicate with such persons like the governor, the senator, and those who were in the upper echelons of the government, who humbled their hearts, most of them. We prayed earnestly for rain after we had told them that God would give them rain. We asked for rain within 3 to 4 days, and it came, even though they said that it was not the season for rain. The weathermen said that there would absolutely be no rain and that none was in sight. The last report we received was that they were still getting plenty of rain. Elijah, who was a man of like passions, the same as you and I, prayed for rain and God gave the rain. If one predicts a drought and it comes to pass, in that I was shown the drought by vision, a drought that would be horrible if it continued to completely devour the land, then it stands to reason by the same godly principles that if we call for rain, it will come. As a matter of fact, the Lord has spoken unto me and told me that if you and the leaders of this land will do what we have requested in these writings, he will bless you. But remember, the scriptures say, and I quote, "Because ye have let my house lay waste, ye are cursed with a curse," end quote. He said again, and I quote, "I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Choose ye this day which ye will receive, as to whether you will serve the Lord or Baal or lust," parentheses, "god of the flesh." One of the major issues concerning judgments of God upon the land is the allowance for perversion and aggression upon the church through governmental constraint, harassing God's people by a direct violation of the Constitution, which provides separation of church and state. They have been imprisoning the ministers of Christ. In the days of old, when they tampered with the vessels of God, even though the walls seemed impenetrable, God tore Babylon down. In the days when Jerusalem was empowered with her early government, the leading officials pounced upon God's people or the church. Because of this, God sent Titus in 70 AD. He overthrew their government, tore down their walls of defense, and plowed their city like a field. We are told in the book of Revelation that earthquakes would become more severe in the end time and would continue to be so bad that it would shake the cities of the nations until the entire world with its great buildings would crumble to the earth. I would like to conclude by saying that with the increasing pestilences and diseases, problems, and sorrows of mankind, it is very obvious that the judgments of God are at hand, and, as the Bible refers to it, it is the beginning of sorrows. While looking and hoping for a better society, as the economics of life, something that will be controlled by godly leaders, which will bring in a wholesome and peaceful regime to mankind. I close these writings with respect to the office that you hold and to you as an individual. Sincerely, George L. Pike.
I appreciate the hearty applause and the appreciation for those things that were writing to the governor. I really believe in my heart that the problem today is that there is too much emphasis placed on world economics, not enough on the source of our strength in life, which is Christ. And I think God's jealous over it. And there is going to be a lot of problems until they change the whole situation. All right, Ray, are you a minister? I've never had a chance to talk with you. Are you a minister? You're not a minister. I've never had a chance to talk with Ray to see if he was a minister. I forget his name is Ray, and I sometimes think of him as Gabriel. So this morning I said, Gabriel, come on up. And my wife said, well, the Lord must have let you forget that so that you would say Gabriel for a biblical reason. And of course, Gabriel, as I said, is an angel that always carries a message. And he is a messenger, whereas Michael is a warrior. Gabriel is a messenger. We're glad to see Tim back with us tonight, he and Brother Herman's daughter. I guess Herman is probably one of the finest men I have ever met. Seemingly always ready to help somebody, just willing to put his foot right into it and take a chance to help somebody. Even though he doesn't live a Christian life, and of course that troubles me a lot, I wished he did. I've not had a chance to talk with him much about salvation, but he's always very reverent. We're glad to have them back with us tonight. I want to read just a little bit from the book of St. Luke. And share a few thoughts with you. Chapter 6, the book of St. Luke. The 20th verse, let's read, where Jesus starts by saying, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not to take thy coat also. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what think have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what think have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what think have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love ye your enemies, and do good, and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful, and to the evil. Be therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. And he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceiveth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out the mote that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they the grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. I'd like to just dwell just a few minutes on the thought here. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my saying and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. Think about that just for a moment. The one that comes to me, that hears my words, the one that doeth them. You see, by this is the reason that Brother Pike takes the outlook that I do in saying that you must do the things that are right. You must live the right kind of life. Jesus here very emphatically states that it is a matter of doing what you have been told to do, not just believing. Somebody would say, but I believe, Brother Pike. The Bible said faith without works is dead. It doesn't matter how much you believe, that has nothing to do with it. Just mere believing is not faith. Faith is a combination of hearing the Word of God and doing what the Word of God says. That is faith. When you do that, that is faith, because that is a substantiated conviction of believing. Because you are doing something as a proof to substantiate your testimony of faith or believing. So then, that is faith. This is what God is speaking of. If I don't do the things, I haven't built a foundation for my house. If I don't do any works, I've not built the foundation. It takes works to build a foundation. It takes the works of God, Christ in your heart, to build a real Christian foundation. I can say that I believe all I want to believe, but if I don't have any works with my faith, I am building a house without works. That is, I'm trying to build a house without a foundation. I'm building a house without a foundation if I don't have works to accompany my believing. So then Jesus makes it very plain that we must have work. You can see the heresy of many churches. Many millions of people, you can see the heresy of their teachings and their believing. They teach all you've got to do is just believe, and that's all there is to it. So then there's many hundreds and millions of people that will be deceived. They'll go to church and they'll believe. They'll believe. They'll go to church. The Methodists believe. The Baptists believe. The Catholics believe. All of them believe. The Pentecostals believe. They'll go to church and they'll believe. They'll build churches. They'll have the house of God. They'll come to the house of God. They will go so far as to give offerings. But see, your works, it's not just in giving offerings to God. Your works is that the Bible says that you must conform to the spirit of holiness. You must forsake your own desires, forsake your own ways. Follow God and come to the spirit of holiness. And when you come to the spirit of holiness, then as you come to the spirit of holiness, your works in God begins to show. For the Bible said you will have your fruits unto holiness and the end thereof eternal life. So then when we work the works of God, then we do the things of God and the things that please God. So we have our works unto God. We have our fruits of holiness unto God. And we find ourselves walking in the light as He is in the light, having fellowship one with another. You know, you can tell when a person begins to get out of the light. You can tell when they begin to get into the shadows, because they'll begin to break fellowship. You take a person that's walking in the light, they want to fellowship Brother Taylor. They want to fellowship Brother Pike. They want to fellowship Brother Vince. They want to fellowship the brethren. Sisters that walk in the light, they want to fellowship the sisters. See, if you walk in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. And there's something that will draw you to these people. There's something that will make these people outstanding, just to hear them talk and to hear them say things and to have conversations with them. And you're searching out the words. You're always looking for eternal life. Looking for them to say something good concerning God. And so then, as you walk in the light, you'll have fellowship one with another. But when a man withdraws from the brotherhood, when a woman withdraws from the brotherhood, you know right then and there they're not walking in the light. It doesn't matter what they say. It doesn't matter how much they tell you that they love the Lord and that they're religious and they're doing this and they're doing that. It doesn't make any difference. The very minute that they withdraw from the brotherhood, they are walking in darkness. So then we must walk in the light, and we must walk with the brethren. You must walk in the light. You must walk with the sisters. That doesn't mean that you can go out here to a sister that's walking disorderly. It doesn't mean that you go to a brother that's walking disorderly. The Bible said even a brother, even if he is a brother, even if she is a sister, the Bible said withdraw thyself from every brother that walks disorderly. It doesn't matter who they are. Somebody said the poor brother, he's over here, the poor sister, nobody don't want to go visit them. God said you stay away from them. If you can't stay away from them, then that means you're in the same kind of condition they're in. For the Bible said two cannot walk together lest they be agreed. The very fact that he's disobedient or she's disobedient and you going out there to fellowship and proves that something is wrong in your life. So then get away from those folks, even if they are brothers and sisters. Withdraw thyself from every brother that walks disorderly. If you got a daughter, if you got a son, if they profess Christianity and they're going to do wrong, then you get away from them. You stay away from them. Somebody said, but that's my flesh and blood, Brother Pye. And I've just got to do this and I've got to fellowship them. I tell you in the name of the Lord, you're a hypocrite if you do it. In the name of the Lord, I tell you that you're walking in darkness if you do it. I tell you in the name of the Lord that you're just as guilty as they are and in the same kind of condition. And the people need to withdraw from you. Whether it's son, daughter, whatever. You know, you can go out there and testify to somebody about the gospel. Whether it's your children or my children or whoever. You might be able to go out there and talk to them about God. But you're going to have to stay away from them in general. If they're not walking in the light, you've got to stay away from them. You can't be always making plans to be with them. There's times when God may let you go talk with them and see them or whatever. They may come to see you. But when it comes to you going out, looking them up, and trying to visit with them, you are in the same condition that they're in. And I'll guarantee you that if I brought you before this congregation and searched you out, you'd be just as guilty as they are. And you're going over to their house to sit around with them to watch the TVs, or to talk about the things that's ungodly, or to get together and spend your time in the gluttony desire of the world, of the natural things out yonder, in the realms of this life, because you have the love of the world in you. And folks, let me tell you something. You're going to hell for that. You may think everything's all right. You might say, well, Brother Pike, that doesn't apply to me because I can handle the situation, somebody said. It doesn't bother me to sit and look at television. It doesn't bother me to mope around the malls all day where people are naked. It doesn't bother me to go down to the beaches. It doesn't bother me to fellowship those that are walking in darkness out there. But folks, I tell you in the name of the Lord, it don't bother you because you're one of them. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. The Bible said concerning Lot that that just man's soul was vexed from day to day with their filthy conversation. It caused him to suffer a great loss. Abraham refused to have part of it and went away from them and got off to himself, and God was able to communicate with him. And had not it been for Abraham's devout living and being able to communicate with God, Lot would have been destroyed. But through the wonderful integrity that Abraham had with God, Lot was saved. So then if you want your children to be saved, you better have an integrity with God. Folks, you better put some works with your believing. If you want true faith and you want true salvation, you better put some works with your living. Everyday believing. You better put some works with your everyday living. You better incorporate the things of God in your lifestyle. And you better start thinking upon godly things and holy things and walking according to Christ if you intend to get to heaven. Because I tell you in the name of the Lord, I will meet you at the judgment, and other ministers will meet you at the judgment. There'll come a day when we'll meet you at the judgment. And Paul said, and God will judge you, even the secrets of your hearts, by this gospel that I'm preaching today. It's like I was telling someone today. I said, all of these judges that have sat on the judgment seat, and they've judged these people, and especially the young people, the way that they've mistreated them and just done things out of temper and out of their desire and just according to their feelings and according to their moods. Nobody able to stop them because they're judges. I said, just think, one day all of us, along with them judges, is going to be standing in the judgment, and God's going to line up every one of those judges one at a time. He's going to line them up, all of them hundreds and thousands of judges around the world, and they're going to be standing there. And that day they're going to stand before the great God of heaven and the great judge of judges. And all of those boys, all of those teenagers, all of those girls. I saw some tears today. There is a young girl weeping, locked up in prison. See, one day they're going to stand before God, and God is going to call their hand. And these people that they've abused, and these people that they've mistreated, they're going to stand there and they're going to judge those judges. And one day God is going to feed them the same thing that they fed to those poor, helpless people. One day it's going to happen. I thank God for that. One day it's going to happen. The wicked, the wretched, those that have mistreated others. I've heard of people where they took little children. They'd put them in a dungeon, or they'd shut them up in a room for years and nobody knew about it, and treat them like animals until their little minds went bad on them. What a horrible experience. But one day God will take those little children and they'll be fully in their minds and they'll be fully healthy. And them little fellows will be standing there before the great throne of the judgment. And them hideous devils will be there. And they'll be able to witness against them. And what will God do to them? The Bible said that if those that of the Old Testament was thought by God to be of such punishment as to that they received at the hand of Moses, the Bible said, what shall you receive if you neglect this great salvation and trample under feet the blood of Jesus Christ? What will God do if God, because of the blood of animals that was directed toward a purpose as to atonement for a temporary relief, if God there opened up the earth and made the earth swallow those people? Think what God is going to do to those that trample over the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, give the more earnest heed to the things that you've heard, lest at any time you should let them slip. Give the more earnest heed, and take heed how that you hear what the preacher says. Don't let it get misconstrued. Don't let it get mixed up in your mind. Be sure that you understand what I'm saying. Folks, it's going to take some works. The Bible said, he that cometh to me, if he will do the things that I say, he that doeth these things, he that keepeth my sayings, I will show you unto whom he is like. He is like a man that digged down deep and struck a rock and built his house upon the rock. And the Bible said, when the rains come and when the winds blew, that they did not tear the house down. But he said, the man that does not do what I tell him to do, that does not keep my sayings, that comes to me just to hear and say, I believe, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a foolish man that did not build a foundation for his house. And when the winds came and the floods came, the house fell. For they beat vehemently upon that house. And the Bible said, great was the fall of that house. Did you know when your house falls, you lose your soul? Once you come to the knowledge of the truth, and once you know about God, and then you fall, the Bible teaches that when you fall, there remaineth no more atonement for you, no more reconciliation for you. There remaineth no more sacrifice for you. Great is the fall of that house. Once you come to the knowledge of the truth, and then you fall, you lose your very soul. Before then, you might stumble and stagger around because it is not required of you. But brother and sister, when you come to the great knowledge of Almighty God, you need to sell out to God. You need to forget about the world. You need to forget about the things of the world and get away from your ambition for life and all of these things and keep your life and ambition in God. And God will provide for you, and God will add the things unto you that he wants you to have. Don't go seeking after the world. Don't follow after the things of the world. The first news you know, you'll be like Gehazi. You go running after the world, and you'll be like the little servant that left the prophet that failed to do what the prophet told him. And you'll find yourself with the plague of leprosy. You'll find yourself with the plague of sin. You'll lose your soul. Great will be the fall of your house, because your loss will be so great. But let's be like Jesus. The Bible said, who is a rock but our God? Launch out into the deep. Dig down deep. Let's dig down deep. Let's lay our house upon the foundation of God's Word. Who is the rock but the Word? Who is the Word but God? Let's dig down deep and let's put our convictions of heart, our convictions of our life. Let's put it upon the Word. And then when ideology comes, when winds contrary come, then it won't move us because we'll know what we believe. We'll know what we've been taught. We'll have a conviction of heart. It doesn't matter what anybody tells us. We'll say, but the Word of God says it. The Word of God says it. Yeah, they'll say, but you got that from that preacher. Say, the Word of God says it. You got it from the preacher, but the Word of God said it. It doesn't matter whether you get it from a Methodist preacher or a Baptist preacher or a Pentecostal preacher. If the Word says it and you do it, you're all right. Jesus said even concerning the scribes and the Pharisees, he said they like to sit in the seat of Moses. They like to be noticed. They like to be called rabbi. They like the long robes, the salutation in the marketplaces. Make long prayers so that they can be called rabbi. He said, don't follow after that. Don't do that. But he said, if they tell you something, you do what they tell you, because they sat in the seat of Moses. And that's God's Word. You do what God's Word tells you to do. No matter what you think about it, if it's God's Word, you do it. It doesn't matter who tells you. If a devil comes and tells you the Word of God, then it's still the Word of God. Even when Satan himself quoted the Word of God to the Lord Jesus, Jesus never denied it at all. Satan said, it's written. Jesus knew that was true. He accepted it. He didn't reject it. But he said, it's also written. Also written. That's what we need to do. If God says something to us, then we need to say, that's right. If the devil says something to us, if it's God's word, we need to accept the word of God and say it's also written, and not follow after Satan's cunning device and his evil, conniving doings to trap us and to take our life. Jesus was wise enough that he knew what Satan was after. We should be wise enough to know what Satan is trying to do when he comes to the people of God with the word of God. A lot of people don't even believe that Satan can quote the word to you. They don't even know that he's a Bible scholar. But he can come to you with the word of God. And he can tell you the word of God. He can transform himself into an angel of light and come to you with the word of God. The ministers of Lucifer can transform their minds into ministers of light. And they can come to you with the word of God. We don't need to deny the word of God. Paul said, whether the word of God is preached for contention or otherwise, whatever the motive is, he said it doesn't matter. The thing that matters is that the word of God is preached and that the word of God is spread throughout the land. This is what we must acknowledge. It doesn't matter if it's a Methodist preacher, a Baptist preacher. It doesn't matter if it's a non-denominational preacher. It doesn't matter if it's a Catholic priest. As long as they're talking about the word, you know they're not altering the word and changing the word. The word is God. The word is the same. It doesn't matter what kind of preacher it is. It doesn't matter who he is, a television preacher, or somebody that's wrote an article in the paper, or somebody that's published a book. But beware of one thing, and that is a lot of times they'll use just enough scripture to entice you, just enough scripture to get your attention, and then they'll pervert the meaning of the scripture, or they'll add something to it that's not scriptural. And by means of that, they will allure you. To the extent the Bible said it's so close that if it was possible, the very elect would be deceived. So then you want to be careful of those kind of things. But beloved friend, let's dig down and build on the rock. If it's God's word, build on it. Stand on it. Stay on it. God will do something for you. Because God is walking with you and God wants to help you. And God's got something for you. But you got to stay on the word. There's no way to leave the word of God and please God. If you deviate from the word one tiny bit, then you make the word void. Every jot and tittle, you must stay with the word of God. And so then in doing this, we've got to have faith. To have faith, we must do what the word tells us. The works is the foundation of our faith. And the Bible said, so then you see how that with works, faith is made perfect. Faith is made perfect when you put the works to it. If you hear me preach that you need to repent of your sins, and then you put the works with that believing as you hear it to come to the altar, then that makes your faith perfect. That brings you salvation. If I say repent every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And you hear that and you believe that. And you put works with it to go be baptized in the name of Jesus. Then is your faith made perfect. Faith without works is dead. But then is your faith made perfect. And the Bible said then the same thing happens to you that happened to Abraham. For God imputed Abraham's faith unto him for righteousness. And so then the scripture was fulfilled that God justified Abraham by faith. So then Abraham, when he heard the voice of God, take your son, Abraham, offer him up as a sacrifice. Abraham never hesitated. He went right on, and Abraham's works made his faith perfect. And God called Abraham the friend of God. So then what you need to do is hear these sayings. Keep these sayings. He that doeth the things that I say. The Bible said if any man reads the word and he fails to do them, he's like a man that comes to a mirror, beholding himself, seeing his undone condition, then goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man that he is. And the Bible said this man will be cut off. But the man that seeth himself and continues in the laws of liberty to do the things of God, the Bible said this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Doesn't matter what he does, the Bible said whatever he does will prosper. It doesn't matter if you're a painter. It doesn't matter if you're a carpenter. It doesn't matter if you're a plumber. It doesn't matter if you're an office worker. God said that you will be blessed in your deeds if you continue in the liberties of Christ, or the Word of God, wherein He hath given thee liberty. So then, these doings, Jesus said, I will show you to whom He is like. He hath digged down deep. He hath found a rock. He hath built His house upon the rock. Your convictions of heart, your outlook, your motives are built altogether upon the Word of God. You acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and God directs your path. You don't get ambitious and go out and do something on your own. In the morning, you acknowledge God before you go to work. Someone would say, Brother Pike, anybody with one eye and half sense knows if you've got a job, you've got to go to work. Well, we got two eyes and good sense, so it's for sure that we know it. So then, you get up on a Monday morning to go to work. But, beloved friend, before you go to work, the first thing you need to do is to ask God if you need to go to work that morning. Or ask God, is there something else you need to do that day and go to work the next day? Oh, somebody says, Brother Pike, are you out of your mind? No, I'm not out of my mind. Ever since I met Jesus, I've had a good mind and didn't have a good mind till I did meet Him. So then I know exactly what I'm speaking. I may be rude in speech, but not in knowledge. Every day of your life, before you ever go to work, you need to acknowledge God, because that might be the day that you get killed. That might be the day that you leave your wife home and something happens to her and your children. That might be the day that God intended for you to pray all day or to fast all day. That might be the day that God has set aside for you and Him to communicate, to keep your life straight. You need to acknowledge God. And when you're on the job all day long, you need to acknowledge God. All day long, you need to acknowledge God. If you take a notion to go to visit with your relatives, you need to acknowledge God. I don't mean just sit at home and do nothing and say, well, praise God, God's going to meet my needs. I'm just going to sit at home and do nothing. I don't mean that kind of thing. You need to work for a living. You need to be honest. If you are a minister, you need to preach the gospel. You don't need to sit at home. You need to be out testifying the Word of God, going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. And if you're not doing that, that means that you are in a backslidden condition. Somebody says, "Ah, Brother Pike, you said you can't backslide." That's true. You can't backslide. When you really belong to God, you can't backslide. You are sealed with the Holy Spirit, and His Spirit is married unto your spirit. Your spirit has unionized with His Spirit, and your spirit is one with His Spirit, and you're just one spirit. That's God's Spirit in a human body. For your spirit and His Spirit is the same spirit, and it's no longer you living but Him. Your spirit has married His Spirit, and it's one spirit, and they're using your body. And you are sealed to where Satan cannot separate your spirit from God's Spirit. So there's no backsliding to it. See, when it comes to your soul, when it comes to your life, when it comes to your Christianity, there is no way that you can backslide. But so far as your unredeemed body, that is, it is redeemed, but unredeemed to the extent that you've never with the redemption of it. It's still in this world. It's still in the presence of grace. It's still walking on with God. And you can be wishy-washy, as I said the other night, in and out, up and down, and get yourself in a terrible, terrible predicament. So you need to pray and sanctify yourself daily, not as to a sanctification unto salvation, which is the sanctification of God by the faith of Jesus Christ, by which sanctification we are made perfect, as in the Spirit, but a sanctification daily of your body to self-denial, of conforming to the ways of God, making yourself a vessel of God, and presenting yourself in such a way that your body can come in under the leadership of God and the leadership of the ministry, giving yourself a body holy unto God as a living sacrifice, which is a reasonable service, that you might bring that body to God. Otherwise, you're going to have problems. Woe unto the backslider, for I am married unto you. That is to say, you're going to have problems. You're going to have troubles. You're going to run into problems. You're going to run into sicknesses. You're going to run into heartaches. You're going to run into all kinds of things Because you do not surrender that body. You do not make that body conform to God. You do not subject that body to the Word. You don't have an acknowledgement of God in all of your ways that God can direct your path. So then acknowledge the Lord in all of your ways, and God shall direct thy path. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So then, I need to acknowledge the Lord on a Monday morning. I need to acknowledge the Lord on a Tuesday morning, every day of my life, every night of my life, all during the day, all during the night. If I wake up, I need to acknowledge the Lord. I need to meditate in the laws of God day and night to bring every thought into subjection to the obedience of Christ. I need to be ready like the Minutemen of the early American way of life. I need to be ready at all times. When God says do something, I must do it. It doesn't matter what my commitment is. God's not the author of confusion. He's not going to do anything that's causing you a problem. If he tells you to do anything in violation of something that you esteem to be great in your life, into your job or position or whatever, don't hesitate to do what God says if it violates that, because God will promote you and give you a greater position. Or God's got something greater, he'll take you away from that. And there's a good possibility that if you violate God's way and stay with that, then you're liable to get killed, or your loved one's liable to get killed, or you're sure enough liable to get in trouble. So the Bible says, if they persecute you in one city, flee you into another city. So if they're not doing like they ought to, get you another place. Don't be a coward. It's like the preacher. The preacher can't run off and leave the flock. And the Bible said the hireling fleeth when he sees the wolf coming. But the good shepherd, he'll give his life for the sheep. So then we need to acknowledge the Lord. He that cometh to me heareth my sayings and do the things that I tell him to do. He said, I will show you unto whom he is like. This is why I allowed Frank to write the letter. And we're not going to preach any longer because I took up some of the time with the letter and a few things. But this is why that I said what I did as a reminder to the governor. Remember that you must do these things that we've requested. If you don't do them, then faith is obsolete. And that means that you're not going to get the blessings that you would have gotten. You're not going to be what God wanted you to be. If you want to be a leader, a lot of people say, well, I'd like to be a leader, Brother Pye. Well, if you want to be a leader, let me tell you something. The secret of leadership is to find his leadership in your heart and submit yourself wholly unto him, and he will make a leader out of you. He said, follow me, Peter, and I will make thee. I will make thee. Follow me, and I will make thee. He said, come to me. Peter walked on the water. The testimony is great. Follow me, Peter, and I will make thee. All right, let's stand together. Appreciate your attention tonight. I don't think it's all that hot and uncomfortable. I always perspire to the extent I get soaked, you know, but it's not really that bad. Let me say again, we appreciate your presence. I hope these few words can make you to understand that you need a foundation. If you're going to have faith, you must of necessity have a foundation for your house. And if you don't have any works, as to works of righteousness, you don't have any foundation for your faith. And if you don't have any foundation for your faith, then you don't have true faith. Can faith alone save you? That is believing. Can it believing alone save you? Wilt thou know, O man, that faith without works is dead? Wasn't Noah saved by works when he honored the word of God as to believing in it and built the ark for the saving of his family? Wasn't Rahab the harlot saved when she believed the report that the spies gave and prepared her heart as to do what God commanded, hid the spies, and then sent them on their way? See, how then is a man justified? Is he then justified by faith alone? Or is he justified by works? So then we see how that faith with works, faith is made perfect. This is not faith as unto your salvation. for the faith of Christ that sanctifies you as to your spiritual salvation, to seal you from sin, is once and for all by Calvary. But this faith is the faith as to the redemption of your body, as to bringing this body into subjection, to be therefore perfect even as He is perfect. And without the activity of this or action of this toward God, it is a positive proof that you was not partakers of the heavenly unction as to the faith of Jesus Christ that was given you through Calvary. Because if that faith is in your heart, then Christ will be there. If you have not His Spirit, you're none of His. And if His Spirit is there, then you will be about your Father's business. And the very fact that you do these things proves your justification by faith at Calvary. If you do not do these things, it is a positive proof the love of the world is still in you. So then, as I say, the tree is known by his fruits. And the tree bears fruits according to its nature. So if the nature of Christ is in you, then you bear fruits of faith, having your fruits unto holiness and the end thereof everlasting life or eternal life. See, but if you don't bear fruit, it is a positive fact that you don't have His Spirit. You don't have the nature. For as the Bible says, we are partakers of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. So then you don't have the nature. If you have the nature, you have the unction. For the Bible said we have an unction from the Holy One. If you have the unction, you'll be about the Father's business. So then your salvation is because of what He did. But if that Spirit has come into your heart because of what He did, in that you believed in it, then your body will begin to conform to His way of life. For you will have a burning desire to do His will and to follow Him, to be about the Father's business. If you don't have that unction and that drive, you don't have His Spirit. If you don't have that, you don't have salvation. So the tree bears fruit because it is that kind of tree. For as the Bible says, we are partakers of the divine nature of Jesus Christ. So then you don't have the nature. If you have the nature, you have the unction. For the Bible said we have an unction from the Holy One. If you have the unction, you'll be about the Father's business. So then your salvation is because of what He did. But if that Spirit has come into your heart because of what He did, in that you believed in it, then your body will begin to conform to His way of life. For you will have a burning desire to do His will and to follow Him, to be about the Father's business. If you don't have that unction and that drive, you don't have His Spirit. If you don't have that, you don't have salvation. So the tree bears fruit because it is that kind of tree. The apple tree, because it is an apple tree, bears apples. The orange tree, because it is an orange tree, it bears oranges. Isn't that wonderful? Not because it has to try to conjure something up. It's just the nature giving forth. And you'll have your fruits unto holiness because you have the nature or the spirit of holiness. So, that does not mean that something can't be grafted in while by nature. Even the Gentiles are grafted in while by nature. Isn't that right? Now you can graft in a lemon limb. You can graft in a grapefruit limb. As long as it's grafted into a citrus tree, then that limb that's grafted in will bring forth whatever the limb is, whatever the nature is. If the nature of that limb or the tree that it came from is grapefruit, then it'll be grapefruit. If the nature of that limb that was grafted in be lemon, then it will be lemon. Even though the tree may be an orange tree, and the nature of that tree will bring forth oranges. So it will bring forth lemons, it will bring forth grapefruits, it will bring forth oranges because the life comes. And this is what we're telling you, the rain comes on the just and the unjust. It comes on the tare and the wheat. Both of them lives by the same life. But their production is according to their nature. If that which is grafted into this life that we live be a briar, then it will produce briars. If it be wheat, then it will produce wheat. The same life, but a different fruit. Let's sing a little chorus together, can we? Sweep over My soul sweep over, my soul sweet spirit, sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet, O sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul. For we've anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild seas no more. And though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. Can you sing this with me? For we have anchored our souls in God's haven of rest, and we'll sail the wild sea no more. And though the tempest it may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am saved evermore. Are you anchored in Jesus tonight? You know, folks, we're living in a bad day. Did you know that? Today I was walking around at a place. I didn't know where I was going. I wound up at some kind of mall, which I don't care to go to. And we was walking around, and the wife had kind of drifted behind. I was kind of by myself, as a number of us together. They had drifted behind, and I'd walked off, and I don't know how I got separated, but some back here and some up here, you know, they'll just kind of, you know, this is the way people go, you know, and one sees this and one sees that. You think that this fella's along with you, and you done walked half a block. And all of a sudden, a person came up to me, a woman, and she started asking me where I got my hat. Well, I'm simple-minded anyway. My wife got a whole lot more sense than I have. But, you know, it never dawned on me. I didn't think nothing about it. I thought, well, this is kind of strange, but that woman is really fascinated with this hat. And it was the hat that Brother Jerry had gotten me. It was the blue hat. I thought, well, you know, I don't know just where I got this hat. I thought I got a number of hats. And then I thought, one of David Paul, he was around somewhere. I said, now, I said, wait a minute. I said, I got somebody can tell you. And I thought, no, not this hat. This is a hat that Brother Jerry gave me. I thought, no, he isn't around. I said, no, I don't know. I don't know just where this, I think it come from Monroe. Well, about that time, my wife came and she stopped all the thinking right there. But I actually, you know, I mean, that woman, she didn't tarry. She was gone. But I'm so simple-minded that I never did. It never did dawn on me nothing except she was interested in my hat. I should have had more sense than that. But anyway, I had my mind on the Lord and thinking about the things of God, you know. And of course, women can see farther than you can see. And when they come along, they can figure things out better somehow. But I just said that to say this. This is a bad world, folks. You know it. It's a bad situation. It's really bad in this world. It's bad. What we need to do is stay close to the Lord Jesus and love the Lord. Because the devil is out to devour you. He's out to cause you problems. Jesus loves you. He'll help you. But you got to keep your mind on God. God will give you some protection, especially you men, if you have to send your wife alone. All right. Let's sing another chorus. And while we're singing this chorus, if you'd like to come to the altar, you may do that. I drink a lot of water because it just keeps running out. Sometimes up here, you know, losing the water through perspiration, I'm kind of like some folks when it comes to the Spirit. They got a hole in their bucket. They leak. I never will forget. They said somebody was down praying one night. And number of people was praying with him, and they said, Lord, fill him, oh God, fill him, oh God, fill him with your spirit. And said there was a black lady or some lady who kept saying, there ain't no need to do it, they leak. There ain't no need to do it, they leak. So, you know, the Bible said that my people have committed two evils. And one of those evils is that they have hewn them out cisterns, broken cisterns that won't hold water. And the other evil is that they've forsaken the living God. Days without number. So let's sing this little song, Kevin. Give me another key, friend. I choose Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call. For I know I am a child, the Son set free. I am God's own child by birth, highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. Can you sing with me? I claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when I call. For I know I am a child, the Son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first, and that's enough for sing it again. When you call, for I know I am a child, the Son set free. I am God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. I claim Jesus first. Can you sing it one more time? Think about them words now. We claim Jesus first of all. He will answer when we call. For we know we are a child, the Son set free. We are God's own child by birth, the highest honor on this earth. We claim Jesus first, and that's enough for me. You love Jesus? God is with us, isn't that right? God, He loves us. Let's sing another chorus, can we? Let's sing that song everybody ought to know who Jesus is. Can we sing it? Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For He is the lily of my valley, and He's my bright and morning star. And He is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell. Everybody ought to tell who Jesus is. For He is the lily of your valley, and He's your bright and morning star. And He is the fairest of 10,000. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know. Everybody ought to know who Jesus is. For he is the lily of your valley, and he's your bright and morning star. And he is the fairest of 10,000, and everybody ought to know. I want you to slip your hands up with me. Tonight, if you need to come to the altar, now's the time. If you've never made the great commitment to God for your soul, then now is the time. You know, I tell you what, let's do. Let's just sing another chorus, and then we all will come to the altar. Nations are breaking, Israel's awakening. It's the sign that the prophets foretold. The Gentile days number with horrors encumbered. Return, O dispersed, to your own. For the day of redemption is near. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps trimmed and clear. Look up, your redemption is near. Let's lift our hands up now and close our eyes. How wonderful it is to be a Christian. How wonderful it is to be a real, genuine Christian. If you're not a real, genuine Christian, then you're going to be miserable at Bethlehem. Did you know that? If you're not a real, genuine Christian, you're going to be miserable at Bethlehem. But if you are a real, genuine Christian, then Bethlehem is the home of the soul. And this is a good place for you to be. You love the Lord? This is a good place for you to be. If you love the Lord, this is the home of the soul, Bethlehem. We believe in the real gospel of Jesus Christ. The real gospel. I want you to lift your hands up, and I want to pray with you. We'll sing a little chorus after this and we'll let you go. Father God of heaven, in the wonderful name of Jesus, I come to you tonight. I thank you for my people and those that follow this ministry, Lord, wherever, here and around the world. I thank you for these people. I ask you, O Lord, as I pray, to look down upon the people, all that can hear my voice, O God. I ask you to heal these people. May thy Spirit heal these people. Oh God, I feel your healing right now. I feel faith. May your Spirit go out, knowing that tomorrow God is going to bring a great, mighty day. Father, we're looking forward to it. Lord, tomorrow, great day, for the trucks will begin to roll for thee. Lord, an evangelism will be on its way to the needy souls, and God will bless. I ask you to do it. Grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I ask you to grant it tonight. Grant your blessing tonight. Oh, God, grant it tonight. Father, bless these people. May there be healing tonight. God, may these people be healed tonight. May they receive salvation. God, may they receive the desire of their heart. God, let us decree it in our heart. Hallelujah. I ask you to do it tonight in the wonderful name of Jesus. Bless them. Take care of them. Meet their needs. Give them a great zeal for Christ. Let's give the Lord a hand, can we? All right, we're going to sing this little chorus and then we're going to try to let you go. I want you to sing it with me now. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Everybody makes me love. Everybody makes me love. Everybody, I'm enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Can you sing it with me again? It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. I was looking at Brother Gabriel's little lady, and she's just a-singing, she's just a-grinning and a-singing with her mouth wide open. Let's sing that again, can we? Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It will do when I am dying. It will do when I am dying. It will do when I am dying, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It will do when the world's on fire. It will do when the world's on fire. It will do when the world's on fire, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Sing it again, can you? Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. That old time religion. Sing it one more time. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good. One more time. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Let's give the Lord a hand again, can we? Hallelujah. I appreciate you tonight. I'm going to ask Brother Vince to come up, if he will, Brother Vince Murphy. While Vince is coming, I want you to lift your hands up with me. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to call on the name of the Lord. While our brothers pray and think about the meetings now, pray and seek the Lord. Be filled up with the wonderful presence of God. If you haven't given your heart to God, then give your heart to God. God loves you. He wants to do something for you. While your hands are lifted, if you want to give your heart to God tonight while Vince is praying, call on the name of Jesus. The Bible said, it shall come to pass that whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on the name of the Lord and get in here and help us carry this gospel, and God will bless you in this world and in the world to come, brother.